Hello, this is David Coulthard.
Hi, I'm Mark Webber here.
Great drive, Mark. Fantastic. We've won the constructors. Thank you. Well done.
Hi, this is Sebastian Vettel.
You're the world champion. You're the triple world champion, Sebastian Vettel. You are the man. You're a triple world champion.
Can I do donut?
Donuts will not be required, thank you.
Take that as a yes, then.
Hello and welcome to the Infinity Red Bull Racing Podcast. And for round four of the 2013 Formula One Championship, we head for the dust, sweltering heat and desert of the Bahrain International Circuit, the track which hosted its first Grand Prix in 2004. A total of 120,000 tonnes of asphalt were used to build the circuit. And for this race, each lap is 5.412 kilometres. It's a testing track, the constantly changing character of the corners and its desert location, meaning it can be difficult to settle into a rhythm, and sand blown off the desert can suddenly appear on the track, meaning drivers are never quite sure where it's going to be slippery. It always makes for an interesting race here. There are plenty of overtaking opportunities with two DRS zones around the track. Coming up on the podcast, we'll hear from both our drivers about their races here in Bahrain. We'll also catch up with David Coulthard, Christian Horner and Sebastian Buemi. First though, this weekend's race here in Bahrain is a poignant one. It's Mark Webber's 200th race in Formula One. Here are some of the people who have worked closely with him over the years.
The fact he's reached his 200th Grand Prix is no surprise, and you know he's continued to improve through all of the seasons that he's been in Formula One.
He is a racer, but that, I mean, he's a man who is dedicated and loved because he loves it.
If you haven't got a good solid head on your shoulders, you're not going to go far. You can have talent, but you've got to be able to think as well. And that's what impressed me right at the beginning with Mark, and that's what impresses me still today with Mark.
You don't get to do one Grand Prix if you don't have certain talent, and you certainly don't get to do 200 if you're not delivering value.
Mark never ever loses his drive and motivation. I think that's the real testament to why he's still going strong at his 200th Grand Prix.
I think that part of a sportsman's mind is that you're never 100% satisfied.
I mean, we've seen in other sports people like, you know, Ryan Giggs go on for many years because they kept themselves in good shape, because they've applied themselves well, and that's exactly the same with Mark.
You always want to be 25, mate. I'd still love to be 25 now, but I've got more wisdom now, you know, a little bit wiser in certain areas. I still feel very fit, I still feel hungry, I still enjoy driving the cars. 200, yeah, let's see how many more we can do.
It was a successful race for the team overall in Bahrain. Sebastian Vettel scored his second consecutive Bahrain Grand Prix victory with a dominant drive to the flag, set up in the opening two laps of an action-packed race. Mark Webber, meanwhile, finished his 200th Grand Prix in seventh place after narrowly missing out on fifth due to fading tyres in the final laps. Starting from second, Sebastian was ambushed into turn one by third on the grid, Fernando Alonso, who passed around the outside. Seb didn't take the loss lying down, and he was soon back into P2. A Kurz-assisted run at Alonso paid off as they dived into turn six. The next target was pole winner and race leader Nico Rosberg. The pair duelled through the next lap again, but Seb squeezed past the Mercedes driver down the inside on the exit into turn four. Thereafter, it was all about building a gap and managing the race. By the end of his second stint, the defending champion had built a sufficient cushion to stop on lap 25 and emerge in the lead by a comfortable margin. Lotus's Kimi Räikkönen working a two-stop strategy briefly threatened in the last third of the race, but Vettel was always in control and managed the gap in the closing stages to finish 9.111 seconds clear of the Finn. Räikkönen's Lotus teammate Romain Grosjean finished third. Here is Seb after the race.
You know, it was good fun in the beginning and very tight wheel-to-wheel racing. Also in the beginning, you don't know whether you will be quick or not, because everybody's a little bit all over the place, including yourself. So it was important to get past, because I saw last race that, you know, being stuck behind someone does have an impact on tire wear. And today it was important that we made use of the tires that we had, that we saved from quali yesterday. And to do so, obviously, I love to be in clean air, so I was pushing hard to get into the lead, and certainly at the end, with the speed that we had mid-race, it was quite comfortable. So very, very pleased. Good job for the whole team, for the factory in the background, and especially on strategy side today. I think it worked just the way we expected, so we interpreted the numbers correctly on Friday, and with hindsight came up with the right idea for Saturday and Sunday.
Mark's 200th Grand Prix was defined by a furious battle with Mercedes Lewis Hamilton over the last dozen laps. His first stint went according to plan, and by lap 21 and his first stop, the Australian was in P2 behind Sebastian. A trickier second stint saw him having to clear a lot of slower cars, however, and the effort compromised his progress. In the final laps, he climbed to P5 and soon found himself under pressure from a hard-charging Hamilton. The final handful of laps became a monumental and enthralling battle in which no quarter was asked or given. On the final lap, however, Mark eventually had to give way as his tyres faded badly. He was passed by both Hamilton and McLaren's Sergio Perez. Here is Mark after his 200th Formula One race.
A little bit frustrating. Definitely would like to have got more out of today's race. It just turns out we could not get the life from the tyres, so the strategy was not what we would have liked in the end. So the range of the stints were compromised. And these days, if that happens, obviously the whole race is in a completely different envelope. So in the end, definitely some learning that went on. We know how sensitive the window is, and we were outside of that today, unfortunately. And I felt I drove okay, actually, and no mistakes, and pushed pretty hard. But pushed hard in terms of within saving the tyres, let's say. But in the end, could not get the balance between pace and time management correct on our car.
Now, it's been a while since we've spoken with David Coulthard on the podcast. Laura caught up with him fresh from his BBC commentary box after the race.
Okay, so David, we've missed you on the podcast for the last few races, and you promised you'd make it up to us. So how are you going to do that?
Well, by being here for the big one, you know, Sebastian. What a dominant victory. I think that's his most, well, dominant is the perfect word, most dominant victory since his first ever win for Toro Rosso back in Monza. Able to pit from the lead and retain the lead of the Grand Prix. Yeah, really, really impressive to see.
And how have you been coping with the heat here in Bahrain?
I found it okay, personally. You know, I think that, yes, it is warm, but when you've been used to being strapped in a racing car when the cockpit temperature is over 50 degrees, then everything else kind of falls into line. So, yeah, I wasn't uncomfortable with the temperature at all, and the drivers looked pretty cool on the podium.
Okay. You looked very cool, and I couldn't help but notice you were actually quite well coordinated with Susie Perry today. Was that planned?
No, not at all. We never talk about any of those sorts of things, whether it's when Eddie's here or when Jake was here in the past. We just kind of, you know, turn up and do our own thing. So unlike some of the other broadcasters, we're left to our own devices, and it's just really how do we feel on that day. But I think when you're in the Middle East, it's a white day, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. And this was Mark Webber's 200th Formula One race. How many Formula One races did you compete in?
I think I did 246, so he's not that far behind me.
Okay.
And yeah, it was not maybe a memorable Grand Prix for Mark, but you know, you can't win them all.
And do you remember how you celebrated your 200th?
I think I was in Barcelona for my 200th Grand Prix, so I'm pretty sure I organised a party at a club in Barcelona called 13, which could be unlucky for some, but it was a good night.
Very good. What's next for you?
I'm heading off to Sochi. We're going to be filming there with Sebastian, the new Grand Prix circuit that we'll be racing at in Russia. Looking forward to that. It's a flying visit, so we leave tonight straight from the track in Bahrain, land at 12:30. We'll be filming tomorrow, leave there at 4, back to Europe, and then I'm at the Red Bull Ring for 3 days, filming a 360 degree video of the Red Bull Ring circuit. Looking forward to that, and then back home to Monaco, see the family, and then I'm doing a charity bike ride on the Sunday 28th with Prince Albert from Saint-Tropez to Monaco. So I will have saddle sores, tired legs, and a very large beer when I get back to Monaco.
Okay, brilliant. Well, good luck with that, and we'll catch up with you again in Barcelona.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bahrain is an interesting track to race at. Laura went to get an insight from our reserve driver, Sebastian Buemi, earlier today.
So, Sebastian Buemi, you're back with us. You had a little absence from the podcast for the last couple of races. Could you just tell our listeners what you've been up to in that time?
Yeah, I was not there in China. It's the first time I missed a race since, obviously, a long, long time. So that was for a good reason. I've been racing in the WEC, the World Endurance Championship in Silverstone, and I got a podium. So I was quite happy with the weekend, and then I'm back here this weekend in Bahrain, and now we won the race, so everything is good.
Well, congratulations on your podium. And how have you been enjoying Bahrain so far?
think, you know, it's been a couple of years that we come and they used to have some problems, but I felt it was very calm, everything this weekend, so I really enjoyed the weekend. The weather is, you know, always very good, as we could expect it. And again, you know, we say we enjoy the weekend when we win, and we won the race, so that's the best thing that could happen, and it always makes it a good weekend.
Can you just take our listeners on a lap of Sakhir?
Yeah, Sakhir has a very long straight, so good possibilities to overtake into the first corner. Then you have another long straight with a little kink, left kink, which is very difficult to do flat, but then it goes into a second very long straight, so we've seen again today some overtaking. And after that you go into the second sector with the right hand corner in third gear, and just after this right hand corner you've got a very high speed section, which is a quicker section of the circuit. It's in fifth gear corners, it's a right and left, and then you go down into a right hand corner, very slow speed corner in second gear. And after that, a very tricky part of this circuit, because you accelerate back to sixth gear, and you've got to brake and turn at the same point, and it's a very tight left hand corners, so not easy. Then you've got a long straight, you can use a DRS again, and after that it's pretty different, because it's a left hand corner in third gear, you go up the hill, then it's followed by a right hand corner very quick, and after that it's basically already the penultimate corner of the circuit. It's followed by a long straight, and the last corner, very tricky. The curb is on the outside is very slippery, so if you want to have a good lap, you've got to have a very good exit, and yeah, on the start and finish you can use the DRS again.
And how would it rank in terms of your circuit choices?
I think it's a good circuit. You know, we always have seen good racing here. But as a driver point of view, you know, it's good, but nothing special. You know, I would like more circuits like Spa or Suzuka.
Okay, well, in that case, we'll ask you then, what would be your top five tracks? Because we've been running that feature on Twitter this weekend using the hashtag top tracks.
I think if I had to choose and pick up a few tracks, I would say definitely Spa-Francorchamps in Belgium, Suzuka in Japan. That's a very nice one. I have to say Monaco. Monaco is something special, you know, so I really like it. And I would say Sao Paulo in Brazil as well, you know, it's something different. And I would even put Monza, because Monza is again completely different, with very long straights, high speed. Yeah, this is where we reach the highest top speed of the year, so it has to be in the top five.
And we saw you in a spontaneous signing session here at the back of the garage the other day. Tell us about that. Have the fans been very enthusiastic?
Yeah, they were enthusiastic, because that was on a Thursday, and there is a paddock walk, so the people can basically walk into the pit lane and they can see the cars. And you know, some of the fans asked me to take some pictures, and then I stayed there for 20 minutes in the end.
Okay, and then one final thing we need to ask you to do. The spy has actually asked us, through his sources, to ask you to set him a challenge, maybe for Barcelona, on his app. So do you think you might be able to do that for us?
Yes, for sure. I can set up a challenge. I'll think about it for Barcelona.
And what's next for you? Straight off here or staying around for a while?
Straight off here. And then I have a three-day test in Portugal for my endurance program, followed by a one-day test for Red Bull in England.
Good luck, and we'll chat to you again in Barcelona.
As you know, Red Bull invests a great deal into new racing talent. This weekend, we were joined by Red Bull karting athlete Abdullah Athawadi. Laura spoke to him to find out how he's enjoying his time with the team.
Okay, so I'm joined by Abdullah Athawadi. Could you start by telling us, Abdullah, a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm 16 years old, and I still got a year and a half in school. I started karting, well, racing at the age of 7. So started off a bit early, and I'm still karting, so it's been like 5-6 years when I'm like racing professionally, and hopefully we're improving step by step into different series other than karting.
And you recently became a Red Bull athlete. Could you tell us a little bit about that, when that happened and what it was like?
I was approached by Red Bull 3 months ago to be a product placement, and that lasted for a month. I was lucky enough to not stay a long time as a product placement, and I was branded with the cap and everything as a Red Bull athlete. So it was a huge achievement for me at a young age to represent the Red Bull company. And it's been 2 months as a Red Bull athlete, so it's really nice to meet the whole family and get to know everyone around the world. So.
And I guess one of the perks of that is being able to come to your local race. Have you been to an F1 race before, or is this your first time?
I've been to every F1 race in Bahrain because I'm a huge fan of the F1, and I support the F1 during Bahrain. But I've been to the F1 in Abu Dhabi, so that was a different race for me, so it's a new experience.
You actually got to meet Mark Webber today, is that right?
Yeah, obviously it's a pleasure meeting him. You know, I've always wanted to meet him as a F1 driver, a superstar, and I got to learn a lot of things that I never thought of, especially for my karting career, as he gave me his tips for like karting and how he was doing during his karting career, and he explained to me a lot of things like that have to do with studying and everything, and he gave me a lot of tips that made me open up and notice a lot of things that I wasn't looking at, so it helped me a lot, and I really want to thank him for that. And I didn't get the chance to like have a long chat with him, but it was really nice meeting him.
I guess the main goal for every young karter is that they do eventually become a Formula One driver. Is the same true for you?
Yeah, well, obviously everyone that starts in karting is aiming to reach to Formula One and to shine in Formula One, because obviously it's the maximum where a racing driver can reach. But you know, there's always the obstacles that drivers face during their racing careers that sometimes they might not reach to their goals. But I really hope that any obstacle we face, we can manage to get through with the help of my team, Saudi Falcons, and with the help of my other team and my career partners, Red Bull. So until now, we're working really well together, and nothing can stop us. So I really hope that we can improve really fast and reach our goal.
Just kind of touched on it there, but this is Mark's 200th Formula One race here this weekend in Bahrain. So that's obviously a very poignant goal for any driver to reach. But you've also been through quite a transitional time yourself recently, which I guess is relatively comparable. Could you just describe that quickly for our listeners?
Well, yeah, I've been racing karting for around 7-8 years, and a few months ago I drove the Formula BMW car, and it was a huge step for me and an achievement for me. And during this weekend for the F1, I'm driving it again as a support race of the F1, so I think that's a big step for us, and it's really nice, and it's a big transition for us, and it's like a huge achievement for a karting driver to jump up to Formula BMW. So I hope we can keep pushing and reach the Formula BMW series and do the whole season, and then who knows, maybe we can reach something other than Formula BMW.
Yeah, push the boundaries.
Yeah.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
So overall, a very positive weekend here in Bahrain for the team as the sun sets here over the desert. Katie went to speak to Christian Horner to reflect on this weekend's events.
Okay, so Christian, it's not long after the finish of that race. Did you expect to win it?
To be honest with you, going into the race, it was always, we thought, going to be a tough race for us, because tyre degradation was so critical today that you know, we really thought we were going to be marginal, but as it turned out, Sebastian had plenty in hand and was able to manage the race immaculately from the moment he passed Nico Rosberg for the lead.
How do you actually maintain the tyres? Is it about driving style?
A lot to do with driving style. Obviously setup is crucial, and the way the car performs and works the tyres, but you know, obviously Sebastian has a great feel for the way that the tyres work and operate, and managed not to overstress them in the early laps, and by not abusing them early on, you then get a benefit later on. And he's demonstrated so many times he's got a great sensitivity for the way the tyres operate.
And the top three finishing positions are apparently exactly the same as last year, which is quite a surprise.
Yeah, I mean, the odds on that were probably fairly slim. But, you know, Kimi drove another very strong race on a two-stop, Grosjean on a three-stop, and Sebastian, you know, at all points was in control, unlike last year where it was touch and go. This was probably one of his most dominant race wins.
And then just tell us about Mark's race, because he was in P2 at one point.
Yeah, no, Mark was running in traffic early on. He made a good start, a good first lap, and then we went for a reasonably early stop, but he pushed very hard. He got himself into second place on the road, but then didn't seem to have the endurance that Sebastian was able to achieve, and just didn't have the range in that second stint on the medium tyre that then put the next two stints under pressure. So as it turned out, his last stop, because he'd run out of tyres, or effectively run out of rubber on the tyres, his last stop was only a lap or two later than Kimi Raikkonen, who was on a two-stop. And then it was always going to be difficult for him to get to the end with the wear rate that he was seeing. But he raced really hard against Lewis and Perez in the final couple of laps, and it was a shame not to be able to hang on to that fifth place.
And just finally, I know some fans at home are saying it's quite confusing now watching the races. What's it like on the pit wall?
Equally as confusing, because you're trying to plot your way through. It's a bit like playing a game of chess, really, and you don't want to make your moves too soon, because what you do at the beginning of a race affects the end of the race, and the tyres are, you know, marginal, and you know, it's not just Red Bull that is in a situation that's struggling with them. We want two out of the four races, so if they choose not to change the tyres, that's up to Pirelli. But I think it is a bit too much at the moment with the tyres being on an absolute knife's edge.
Well, that's it for this edition of the Infinity Red Bull Racing Podcast. Remember to check out all the pictures, videos and latest from the team on the website. That's redbullracing.com. We leave here leading the Constructors' Championship and with Seb topping the driver's standings. But we're only four races in, and as you'll know, anything can happen. We take the flight to Europe now with the next race in Barcelona on the 12th of May. Until then, take care.